travel to each other. Confucius said, but it only led me down.
Hi, my name is Caitlin. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. Hands-on listener-supported community radio.
SNAP is the new name for the food stamp program in New York. To find out if you may be eligible for assistance in applying for SNAP, call Catholic Charities of Columbia and Greene Counties Nutrition Outreach and Education Program. In Columbia County, call 828-8660. If you are found eligible for SNAP, you may also be eligible for HEAP benefits. This institution is an equal opportunity provider, prepared by a project of Hunger Solutions New York, USDA/FNS, and NYSOTDA.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Chronogram, a Hudson Valley publication covering the arts, politics, events, food and dining, health and wellness, and the home. www.chronogram.com.
The views expressed by volunteer on-air hosts do not represent or reflect the views of WGXC. WGXC is nonpartisan and does not endorse or support political candidates. To participate in WGXC's on-air dialogue, call 518-828-0290 or email info@wgxc.org.
Good morning. This is At Issue on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. And we are going to be talking about the Hudson Pride Parade and the Hudson Pride Foundation and LGBT rights and all kinds of things related to the LGBT community this morning. I'm with Deborah Gilbert, who I co-host. So thank
good
you.
Morning.
And we are going to play the first segment that we're going to do was recorded last night. We were in Henry Hudson Riverfront Park, and it'll sort of speak for itself, but it was a gorgeous night last night, and we were very happy to be down enjoying the park until the Japanese Beatles attacked us. But we're going to play the segment, and then we will be back with Teresa Parsons, who is representing the First Presbyterian Church, and we're going to talk a little bit about the church's relationship to the LGBT community as well. So in the meantime, we'll play the segment, and we'll be back at the half hour.
All right, here we go once again.
So thanks for joining us here. We are recording, we're pre-recording this segment at the Henry Hudson Riverfront Park, so you'll hear some noise. There are people here playing soccer, and some cars and things going by.
Motorcycles
and whatnot. But it's a gorgeous night here. We are here the night before you're hearing this, and we are with four board members and some officials with the Hudson Pride Foundation. Rich Volo, who is AKA Trixie Star, who is the board president. Rachel Kappel, who's a board member, Martha Harvey, who is the executive director of the Hudson Pride Foundation, and Holly Northrup, who is the vice president of the board. And I'm also here with Deborah Gilbert, who's my co-host, so thanks for all of you for joining, and good morning, Deborah.
Good morning.
So this is going to be a big weekend. One of the reasons we're doing the interview here is because this is the sort of scene of the crime where this will be turned into a whole playground on Sunday.
Saturday.
I don't mean a crime,
Saturday.
Of course. It's a real Saturday.
It's a real.
It'll be where all the action is.
All the action is. Okay, I misstated it.
Yep.
And one of the most interesting things about what's happening is that everything that's happening here is free. So maybe Rich, you could tell us a little bit about what's going to happen this weekend, and we'll take it from there.
So this is radio, Victor.
This is radio.
That means I don't have to wear this wig and all this tools.
I already have the image. It's
you, look, you look incredible anyway.
Glasses,
so
hat,
why am I wearing
fabulous.
All this polyester?
Because you look fabulous.
Anyway.
Fine.
Love the polka dots.
Thank You're so fabulous.
Thank you. So here we go. So this is Hudson Pride Weekend. This is our fifth annual Hudson Pride Weekend. And we have a big lineup of things to do. First of all, starting Friday night, we have two cruises, the Sunset Cruise and the Moonlight Cruise from 7 to 9, and then from 9 to 11. The Sunset Cruise is already sold out. It is sponsored by Clinton Vineyards. We're going to have performances by Kira McGill on her ukulele, who's going to be there. And Rhett will be the DJ. We will also have food provided by the Paul and Clara Kellner Cafeteria at Columbia Memorial Hospital. Mm-hmm. And that will be here down by the waterfront. The 9 to 11 cruise is the Bears Overboard, sponsored by the Hudson Valley Bears and the Bear Albany Group. Also by the Half Moon. The food will be by Park Falafel. And the performance will be by Bear Donna with DJs Prefab up from Poughkeepsie. And then afterwards, everyone's going over to the Trixie's Whorehouse with DJ J4 World and lots of drag queens who will be there, and like it'll be fun.
And that, where is that?
That will be at the Half Moon, okay, right across the street, right, mm-hmm, on Friday night. Then we get to Saturday, so you could dance and party all night Friday as long as you wake up and get ready and put your sparkle on by 1 o'clock on Saturday. It starts the lineup at 7th Street Park. 2 o'clock starts the parade kickoff, and that's all by Peter Frank and Carol Lavender have been like organizing that for the past 6 months. So it's going to be an amazing parade. And then from 3 to 6 will be the festival down right here by the waterfront. We're going to have performers. We're going to have the Bindle Stiffs. We're going to have tons of drag queens like Gargantua and Lady Couture here from Hudson. We're going to have Sean Eldridge, we have speakers.
Francina Amparo.
Right, we have lots of speakers. The beer tent sponsored by Wonder Bar. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be great.
Bounce House, Pony Rides.
Oh my gosh, yes, talk about it.
Bounce House, Pony Rides, Dunked Ink. Wonder Bar will be here with beer tent, lots of vendors, lots of food. Mm-hmm. Everything's free, wonderful time. Petting zoo.
Is there a burlesque this year?
Charmed and Dangerous?
I don't think so. I think
Charmed and Dangerous will be in the parade. I don't know that they will be performing, but I'm quite sure that everybody who is performing will be more than fabulous and entertaining.
Mm-hmm. There's enough burlesque.
Yeah. It'll be burlesque on a whole other level.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Come and see.
Wait, we're not even done.
Okay.
We're not done yet.
We've got a whole another day. Right?
We're only at Saturday,
so
6 o'clock.
More.
Thank you.
So much more.
And at 8 o'clock is Club Helsinki with Head of Lettuce and Isis Vermouth. With the cabaret show, followed by another DJ dance party at the Half Moon with Ted Patterson. It goes late until Friday night. And then
Saturday night.
Thank you. Late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. And then on Sunday, and by 4 o'clock, you make it over to the Red Dock.
Because you haven't had enough.
Right.
Because your liver is still functioning.
Care of the dog.
Yes. You know, a Bloody Mary.
A mimosa.
And also for the tea dance from 4 to 8 with DJ's Prefab. So it is a full, fun-packed
action-packed weekend.
Something for everybody.
Right.
Yes.
Do people dress up for the tea dance?
I think they dress down.
Yeah,
that's when they sort of let their hair down and chill out and zoom into the Sunday evening, right?
You're welcome to do your little teapot dance.
No one's going to turn you away at the door if you dressed up.
Exactly.
Right. No,
Sunday casual. So I think one of the interesting things about what you've done has been that the parade and the festival is welcoming of people of all ages. Kids are welcome. Purposely made a place for children to be at these events. So maybe somebody could tell us a little bit about your thoughts on that.
Well, I think we, from the very beginning...
And this is Martha Harvey, who's the executive director of the Hudson Pride Foundation.
From the very beginning, we knew that we wanted to be inclusive, and that means everybody, and that we really underscored that. And with everything that we do, with all the activities that we have, we really have made a point to making sure that it's all inclusive for the whole entire community, that it's not just a lesbian thing or a gay thing, mm-hmm, or a bisexual thing or a transgender thing. If you're a person and you're breathing, then come on down.
Right.
It doesn't matter, you know, young, old.
You believe in equality.
Absolutely. If you're fighting for equality, then that means that everybody gets to play. So we've made a point of making sure that we have stuff for kids.
Right.
That's important. Because kids have parents, usually.
Right.
All, you know, or, you know, people that look after them. So, right. you know, you want to invite the kids so the parents come, and, mm-hmm. and it's fun for everybody.
Right. Well, I think there's a lot of people that come in on the weekend that want to look for something to do with children or people that live here, like myself.
Mm-hmm.
My son loves to dress up all the time, mm-hmm. whether it's a policeman, a pirate, whatever. Last mm-hmm. year he was a pirate for Halloween. He right. said to me, can I put on my pirate costume and be on your float? And I said, absolutely. And there you have it. So right. I'll bring him down here. He'll have a great time. We've been here before. The bounce house last year and the slide was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Kids were running all over here last year and everybody was enjoying it and having a good time. And I think that's what it's about. Everyone inclusively
yeah.
enjoying, celebrating, embracing, and
absolutely.
Living it, loving
right.
it.
Right. So you're a recent board member. This is Rachel Kappel speaking. And I was wondering, as a straight woman who has kids, like, why are you interested in being involved with the Hudson Pride Foundation? Why is it important to you?
My roots go very, very deep. Back to the 80s when I was in high school and I had friends who were lesbian, bisexual, gay, and were trusted me enough to share with me. When I was in 10th grade, I did an oral presentation on homosexuality because mm-hmm. I could mm-hmm. and I wanted to share and reach out and make people aware. I lost a friend in 1998 to AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
His family is still local. We do the AIDS walk in Albany.
Mm-hmm.
So when the first Pride parade came about, I lived in Chatham. I had moved away and I couldn't wait to come to the parade. I was like, hooray,
mm-hmm.
finally,
mm-hmm.
Hudson's come back to life. And I thought, oh my gosh, I wish my friend was still alive. I wish she could see this and be
right.
here. So when I did the parade last year as a Zumba dancer and met Trixie, and they said, yo, yeah, there's this, then there's that. Next mm-hmm. thing I know, hey, would you like to come to the Stair Gallery cocktail? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh my gosh.
And you got sucked in.
I got happily sucked in. And then the next thing I
tags.
Know, my friend Tiffany is like, hey, I'm going to be on the board for Pride Foundation, mm-hmm. and Tiffany and Martin and I have been friends for years, since the 80s,
right.
and her sister Rochelle, and the next thing I know, it's, hey, we're all going to be on the... Thank goodness that it's here. Thank
mm-hmm.
goodness that Hudson has finally embraced something that I've seen since the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
time. It's so time.
Right.
So I am so thankful to be on this board. I just...
Yeah, it's a really good board. It
really is.
Mm-hmm. It's a great board.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's good
dynamic.
Hudson has finally come full circle.
Have any of you seen the Gay Pride Parade in New York City?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, it's great. But the fact that we've got one here now is just...
The best.
Yeah.
Yep.
Finally. Long overdue.
And Holly here has put together the little apple, which everyone sees on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Holly is the mastermind behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fabulous graphic coordinator.
And the fabulous Thank graphic you. Coordinator. Cheryl Lacona did the writing for it. Chad Wecklow did the photography.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But it's a big, you know, it's where businesses donate, and it's a big fundraiser for us.
It's a huge mm-hmm. fundraiser.
Yeah.
Is this for scholarships
yes.
or to help with the expenses of this event?
Yeah,
both,
I mean, everything costs money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as a nonprofit, we try to beg, borrow, and steal where we can. But something like this coming weekend, there's a lot of cost involved.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to find ways and be creative in figuring out ways to raise money, to raise funds through donations. And then the creation that Holly put together, the Little Apple, is a great way for people to make a donation as well as get some advertising in return
mm-hmm.
and be part of a great publication.
Now, what is the Little Apple?
Little Apple is the resource guide that the Hudson Pride Foundation puts together that Holly produces.
Oh. So
and
businesses
it has businesses,
take ads.
Exactly.
Full color, glossy ads.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
It's a wonderful publication. If you haven't seen it,
we interview local people
look
in the community and talk about their experiences here and why they live here. It's not necessarily gay related, it's just their experiences in Hudson and what they like. It's local people, it's businesses. It's whoever, I think there's 15 of them,
mm-hmm.
15 different interviews.
Wow.
Gretchen Kelly did the cover. Definitely pick it up if
yeah.
you can find
and,
it.
And they're in files in local stores?
No, they're in piles.
But they
are available in local shops and local stores.
If you
can
find one, consider yourself lucky and hang on to it, like Grim Death.
It could be worth something someday, so you want
exactly.
to preserve
How
it.
Many copies
well, again,
are out there?
See, things cost money, so we can't just mass produce
yeah.
tens of thousands
but
of copies.
Are, but
of
they are
them,
out there,
so
they're available.
So there is distribution,
and
but,
them,
you know, certainly.
And share them with your friends.
Is
absolutely.
It available online?
It is.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well,
see
that's
it online.
The Pride Foundation. That's why you don't need.
So Hudson Pride. So people can, if you're looking for more information about this weekend, you can go to hudsonpride.com. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And if you're looking for more information about the Hudson Pride Foundation, mm-hmm. hudsonpridefoundation.org.
Right.
And both are on Facebook also.
Exactly.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
So
how many people are you expecting?
Thousands.
It's quickly become one of the largest parades and festivals.
Is this as big a deal as Flag Day?
Yes.
We are one of the
maybe bigger.
I will say yes.
But it might attract as many people.
Sure.
We are one of the largest events now within the past 5 years, become one of the largest events in the county. I mean, there
the B&Bs are packed. The restaurants are happy.
Yeah, everyone's happy. I mean, there is the Chatham Fair. There's Winter Walk. There's us on Flag Day, mm-hmm. which is probably a good tie.
Mm-hmm.
But, we're definitely one of the largest events now in the county within the... And we've done that within just four short years, since 2010.
Right. And have you done any studies to see what the effect is on local businesses? Obviously,
good.
I mean, anecdotally, it's clear that the business owners are very happy. I mean, I know that some people have told me that they've had they had the best day of mm-hmm. the year each year. So certainly,
we're definitely bringing people here into the city from all over, from the south, from the north, and they are here to spend money. They are here to go to the restaurants and do some shopping and go to the antique stores, as well as participate in all the events that we have.
Right,
and be part of the festival.
That.
So yeah, we're definitely bringing.
That's great.
Bringing revenue here.
But it also says that this is a town. It's this small place of 6,000 people has its own pride parade,
mm-hmm.
And a big pride parade. When people come here to think about living, they think, oh, I could live in a town that has a big pride parade. That's the kind of place that I want to live in. So that's also the kind of tone that we want to set, that we want to for where we live.
Right.
And that's the type of people that we want to attract.
So,
what kind of message does it send that we've got a great parade like this?
Diversity.
Absolutely.
It sends a diversity message, and it sends a welcoming, friendly, loving, respectful community.
Tolerance.
Tolerance, but also someone where you want to raise your children so that they learn to be tolerant, respectful, and understanding towards others.
I don't like the word tolerant because that sounds like they have to put up with it. This is, tolerant. It's a celebration, absolutely.
Right.
We've worked hard to make it very carnival-like, and we encourage the expression of, be as creative and as weird as you want to be. It's all good. It's safe.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it's the ability to feel safe in expressing yourself however you need to express yourself. I think that's really the message.
So,
and that's true for everyone, no matter what their orientation.
Absolutely.
So on that vein, one of the things that I think that some people may not understand is that the Hudson Pride Foundation is much larger than just this one weekend thing. And, I think the tagline that you use is open
hearts start with open minds.
Right. So maybe one of you could tell us a little bit about the stuff that you do all year and how important that is to what you do.
How about the education? Symposium?
Sure, yeah. Something that we had in April that we've done the past couple of years is the Educational Symposium, where we invite professors or authors to come and to speak about important issues that a lot of the schools are facing, cyberbullying, the New York State passing the Diversity for
Dignity
for All Students
Act.
So we had Thomas Craver here in April, and he is the CEO of the Hetrick Martin Institute in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually going to be this year's Grand Marshal,
right.
So we're thrilled about that.
He'll be speaking at the festival also.
Speaking at the festival, and he's a wonderful resource and very knowledgeable. They work with kids age 13 to 24 in the city, so he is definitely aware of a lot of the issues that a lot of the schools are dealing with. So we reach out to the schools to be a resource and a support for issues that they may be facing with their students, wanting to have a GSA, a Gay Straight Alliance, wanting to make sure that there's no bullying happening, make sure that all the students feel safe so they can actually go to school and learn. So that's an important event that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We have scholarships. Every year we award four scholarships. So we have $4,000 in scholarships that we award to kids that are graduating Columbia County, students that are graduating, they're going on to college.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a lot of money, but it helps defer some of the costs.
Right, some books, could cover the books and whatnot.
Exactly,
and
because we want to encourage them to go to college.
And it's not completely random. Obviously, they have to.
Yes, they have to.
Kids
apply.
Who
yes.
have and they have.
And they have to have
demonstrated
shown,
some
exactly.
sort of
exactly.
commitment
but
to
been
equality.
Involved in some meaningful way.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
This also, you do a speakers series as well, right?
We have. We've struggled.
We do bowling
but,
nights.
But we have bowling nights.
We do bowling
nights.
Night right. for kids. We do,
sure.
What else do we do for kids this year?
We have the youth discussion group, mm-hmm. which is open for all kids aged 13 to 19.
Mm-hmm. And also support all of the local GSAs.
Absolutely.
We had
in
people
the school
at the, we had people at the alt prom this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's an alternative prom for kids who feel like they don't fit into the regular prom.
And that? The big thing is we help liaise with the Albany Center to bring James Schultes mm-hmm. down. So for the first time, we had someone in the Hudson City Schools talking about LGBT issues in front of classes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we helped put, you know, we helped liaise with Albany to bring them down here and mm-hmm. in front of the school board, and we helped to make that happen.
And right. as I work at the college at Columbia Green, and the dean of students is interested in what James has to say and wants to offer more education in the college,
mm-hmm.
both to staff, faculty, and the students on campus.
Is there any like gay straight alliance at the college
There's
right
not.
Now?
So they want to try
so
to at least
thing.
Create a presence
right.
and a safe zone and
mm-hmm.
education for everyone that works there as well as attends.
Right. Well, that's great.
I think it's important to point out that the Hudson Pride Foundation is an all-volunteer organization. Nobody's being paid. We are a board of nine, and we have wonderful volunteers that help us. But the lion's share is done by a very small group of volunteers. So our bandwidth...
Who are run ragged.
Yeah,
right
exactly. yeah, we're a little sleep-deprived. But, you know, certainly we want to do more, but our bandwidth, it prohibits us from
right.
really... doing much more than we are already
well,
doing.
I mean,
so,
and if you look at what's happened in just 5 years, I mean, you've done a tremendous
and,
amount.
And there's
of work
always we wish we could do more. So we do try to partner with other organizations. There's lots of really wonderful organizations out there
mm-hmm.
that are doing some really great stuff. So a lot of times we will try to partner with them to maybe help promote, to maybe drive some attendance to some of their events.
Right.
An interesting thing that's happening on Saturday at noon, or 12:30 rather, at the Hudson Opera House.
Right.
The Oral History Summer School organization is actually having an oral documentary on Stonewall, and that'll be playing at 12:30 at the Hudson Opera House. So, and that's something that we are promoting and helping to drive attendance to. So we're partnering with them. So we look for other organizations that we're partnering with
the Savoia for the first time.
Right.
Rachel, want to speak about that?
Well, I've known Barbara Walthour for a long time, and we said let's reach out and have Savoia join us. So they're going to be a bus stop. So if you're looking to take the bus from the riverfront up to the 7th Street Park, that's one of the stops where you can pick up the bus. And we will have an MC at the Savoia during the parade announcing. His name is Martin Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
He will be announcing as people go by, hey, great, this is this group that it's... And there's also another announcer at the Presbyterian Church at 4th Street. I believe his first name is Reggie. I don't know the last name.
Right, Madison.
So, yes, so we're going to really try to keep the flow and the momentum going
mm-hmm.
throughout. And the Savoia actually has, I believe, a fashion show on Saturday night that is being hosted by someone named Chiara Hughes,
mm-hmm.
who's local,
right.
who has her own fashion line. So if you're not going to...
Supervisor Hughes' sister.
That is correct. That's, yep, Missy's sister. And so if you're looking for something to do before you go to Helsinki, stop by Savoia and grab a drink and check out the fashion line. So,
and then on Sunday at 4 o'clock at the Presbyterian Church is the Albany Gay Men's Chorus.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of...
With amazing acoustics.
Great stuff going,
yes.
going on.
All kinds of things. So many things to pick and choose from.
And all this is online. All
yes.
this
yes.
complicated schedule.
Yep.
Yes.
Get on Facebook and
yeah.
get
on Facebook,
and
there's a Hudson Pride group in Facebook or HudsonPride.com. All the information.
Right. Do you have to have tickets for the Presbyterian Church?
Yes. You do. I think you can buy them at the Spotty Dog.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm. We'll be right back. This is At Issue on WGXE. Okay. So we are back, and I thought we could ask Rich. Trixie, a little bit about your background, because a lot of people know you as the, you know, sort of the most prominent drag queen in town. Some some may...
Musty may not agree.
He's going to be jealous about that.
Let's say one of. We'll make it fair.
Fighting words.
So... But you have this whole cookie empire going that you're doing. You have another background in finance. So tell us a little bit about who is Rich Bolo.
Oh gosh. Well, like I said, I did not know one person when I came here to Hudson. I had an expired driver's license. I had not driven a car in over 20 years. I didn't have a car, and I told the realtor that I wanted a house that was by the train station. And that I could walk to, and in a little town, that the little house didn't need a lot of work. And as long as my dog had a backyard, I was fine. So basically, that was it. And that was 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. I had only
summer done, of 2006.
2006. I had only done drag, you know, a few times. It was for fun. Like, it was really no big whoop. But and then I came here, and there was I was just bored. So I was just bored. I'm like sitting at home, me and my dog. So I just started like writing a blog, and that led to the Trixie Whorehouse parties. And then it was 2009 when Catskill had a pride. I'm like, well, if Catskill can do a pride, we could do a pride. You know, man, how hard could it be? So
little did you know.
Right? That's it. And anyway, so I put out a Facebook request, and 6 weeks prior... to the actual event, because that was when the deadline was 6 weeks prior, and I got the approval, and I called up Ellen Thurston. I'm like, Ellen, what do I need to do? She's like, Trixie, let me tell you. So
is that
exactly how she sounded?
That was the person to go to. That was smart.
Yeah, so Ellen Thurston is definitely my mentor even to this day.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. So
Me too.
Yeah. No one better.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then so people showed up. People showed up to this meeting. Like a dozen people showed up, including these two.
So Holly and Martha, you've been there since the beginning as well.
Yeah. And we just said, okay, well, let's put together a parade. What do we need to do? And like before you know it, like every day something else. Like we would just like people were calling us up. We could not keep up with collecting the money. People just wanted to like donate money and make this parade happen when they found out about it. Mm-hmm. It was like amazing. Then all of a sudden we had these two kids come in, and you know, one of them, Charlie's Ferrucci, and you know, he's like, well, can we march in the parade? Well, of course you could march in the parade. It's like, well, can our friends march too? Sure, bring your friends. They were like, well, can our moms march? And lesbians like, yeah, get the moms to march.
Yeah, definitely. Yay, moms.
So anyway, so they went back. They went and they, Charlie and his friend Timmy ran for a high school prom king and queen.
Right.
And won.
Right.
Elected by their student body.
Right, elected by student body. And then
here at Hudson High.
Yes, that was wonderful.
Huge.
We were all sitting around the table, most of us here, and we're looking at the Register Star, like, oh, look, it's on the front page of Register Star. Isn't that great? Right? The next day, it's AP picks up the story, and we're getting calls from Channel 7 News down in New York saying, oh, my God, you know, I heard you're doing a parade. Can we interview you?
I wound up running interference between Charlie and Tim and the press because it was too much. It was crazy.
It was. I mean, the story went global.
Did you plan this? Did you fix this to make this happen just to coincide with your first parade? It was just the stars aligned.
It really was magically. It was completely coincidental, but it was just an amazing. It really was an aligning of the stars. Pretty amazing.
So they were in the first parade.
They were the grand marshals in the grand parade. Yeah.
And our first scholarship recipients.
You couldn't have planned that.
No, we couldn't.
No.
It was meant to be.
Hudson had just reached the critical mass, and then it like just exploded.
Oh, they welcomed it.
And this year also, I
remember that first year that people were like actually coming out of the stores and crying, like literally thinking that they would never see the day. And
thank
I think
you.
That it was
finally.
pretty incredible.
Finally.
And I mean, people who grew up here, what do you think?
Finally. Why did it even take this long?
Yeah.
That's how I felt, really. I mean,
timing's everything, and it really was the right time.
Yeah. Right, right.
It really was.
So you didn't really give us a whole lot of background about who you are. But
okay.
Go on, cookie maker.
Well, right.
How'd you start the cookie thing?
Oh, just because I like baking cookies.
Yeah, and
how did you get to be so good?
Did that start in 2010?
2009.
Cookie maker, where'd your recipes come from?
Before the parade.
Well, you know, like I'm an IT project manager. That's what I do. Like, you know, so
Yeah,
I mean, I've been working in finance for like 20 years.
I was floored by that. I was so, like, really? Computers and cookies? Who knew?
You know, who knew that, like, project managing these IT projects, these computer consulting projects for all these years would then transfer into me doing it, managing events as a drag queen. But it's totally...
You must have been so bored on that job that you were thinking creatively all the stuff.
I'm always bored. I always need something else to do. So, and then Nora at Strongtree, I gave her a batch of biscotti one day, my great-grandmother's recipe. She's like, these are great. Why don't you just sell these here with, you know, your... with coffee. Mm-hmm. Great. Fabulous. So all of a sudden, before you know it, you know, I'm doing biscotti, I'm doing chocolate chips, I'm doing all these other cookies, and
macaroons.
Lemon drops. Nom, nom, nom.
I get my my kitchen redone and certified by New York State.
We're being attacked by Japanese.
Yeah. My kitchen is certified by New York State Ag and Markets. I have a LLC, and now I am in 5 locations in the city of Hudson, as well as the Farmer's Market. That's 6.
Name all those locations.
So
where
it is at Relish, right across the street from the train station, Nolita, Spotty Dog, Old Hudson, and the Columbia Memorial Hospital Cafeteria, and then the Farmer's Market on Saturdays. It's either Rich or and or Trixie is there, as well as sometimes I have guest sellers.
they say minions.
We were minions selling cookies. We're there. If you haven't tried a Trixie cookie, now is the time. Don't miss out.
And I am, from tomorrow until Friday, I will be baking like tons of cookies.
Oh my God.
I did my Day of 1,000 Cookies last month, where I baked 1,000 cookies for the Columbia Memorial Hospital staff picnic. I did them all within one day. In my two little ovens, but yeah, it's fun. Keeps me busy.
So, and you gave some away this winter, right?
Oh, I always give cookies away. Yeah. Like, cookies are plentiful. You know,
I just say if you wanted to come to a Hudson Pride,
they grow on little drag queen trees.
Come to a Hudson Pride parade committee meeting. Join the committee and help plan free cookies. If that's not a reason to come to the meeting, really.
I started baking cookies on the first meeting. I said, you know, the first meetings, I started baking cookies, and I bring cookies to every meeting.
So we're really being eaten by Japanese beetles. So one last time, tell people how they can get in touch with you.
And tell us what you're going to wear.
Oh, my gosh. Trix is going to wear her regular big dress. And HudsonPride.com. All the information.
Thank you so much for the work that you do and for making it such
a
wonderful event in our city.
Thank you.
So we are back live here in the studio. We're going to take a quick break. This is At Issue on WGXE 90.7 FM. We'll be right back after this message.
Hey, this is Andy Adick. Well, you're listening to WGXE 90.7 FM, Acra, Catskill, Hudson, Greenport, and WGXE.org all around the world, everywhere.
WGXE underwriting support is provided by Fence, a small press publisher of culturally and aesthetically diverse periodicals and books of poetry, fiction, and open-form prose. Housed at the University at Albany, edited locally, distributed nationally, and available at libraries, bookstores, and online at fenceportal.org.
The views expressed by volunteer on-air hosts do not represent or reflect the views of WGXE. WGXE is nonpartisan and does not endorse or support political candidates. To participate in WGXE's on-air dialogue, call 518-828-0290. Or email info@wgxc.org.
And we're back. I'm Victor Mandolia.
I'm Deborah Gilbert.
And we are with Teresa Parsons, who is an elder at the First Presbyterian Church here in Hudson. And we wanted to speak to you a little bit about the church's relationship to the LGBT community. I think the right wing of the Christian community and tends to somewhat be anti-LGBT and not support same-sex marriage and those kinds of things. But you have a different perspective, and I think that it's important that people understand that there are differing schools of thought on LGBT issues and the church. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about your role. You're an elder at First Presbyterian. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about your relationship and to the community and how you see the church relating to the LGBT community.
Well, the First Presbyterian Church in Hudson
says on its banners, it says on its website that it welcomes all. And it not only says it, but it really means it. Last February, February of 2013, First Presbyterian Hudson was honored and blessed to have found, after a year's search, a new pastor. Her name is Catherine Bilkey. And within 2 weeks after Catherine's arrival, our order of worship, the bulletin that you receive when you come into the church, contained this statement, which I'm going to read to you. It's brief, but it really tells a lot about who we are as a church. It says, "We welcome all. We extend a special welcome to those who are single, married, divorced, gay, rich, filthy rich, sorry, dirt poor, or no habla inglés. Mm-hmm. Whether you used to work on Wall Street or if you used to sleep on Wall Street, you're welcome here. We embrace those in recovery and also those who are still addicted. We will walk with you if you are going through a difficult time or when you need a special prayer. Chances are we've been there too. If you don't like organized religion or are spiritual but not religious, we love you. Even if you got lost and wound up here by accident, we hope you feel at home here. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers, and doubters, tourists and locals. We mean it when we say all are welcome here." And, you know, that statement really resonated with people who came through the door. They had never, many, many people had never seen anything quite so open before. Mm-hmm. This weekend, of course, is the, fifth Hudson Pride Parade. Last year, the First Presbyterian Church had a visual symbol of how we feel about this particular community by decorating our fence with rainbow ribbons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was amazing while we were putting the ribbons out on the fence how many people stopped,
right,
talked to us.
They were quite striking. There's something, they were really just sort of spectacular. They look great.
Well, we
and certainly having a signal from a church right on Hudson's main drag that, you know, that says we welcome you, I think is a big statement.
Right. And of course, it didn't take very long for the message to get out, and our congregation has grown, and among our new members are some members of the gay and lesbian communities, mm-hmm, here in Hudson. And actually from across the river, because they feel that, they know, rather, that they are welcome,
mm-hmm,
here.
Mm-hmm.
So I, besides being an elder of the church, I'm also head of a committee called Public Witness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to let people know our message, mm-hmm, of inclusivity.
Right. There's some big news, though, in the denomination, though.
Major big news. And I don't know, is this, maybe you're going to be the first local media to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Every 2 years, the major governing body of the Presbyterian Church meets. This year they met in Detroit, and they're still meeting. And there was a overture made, and just to explain, an overture is when individual presbyteries, individual congregations, have an issue that they want to address, whether it's whether the Presbyterian Church should fund certain charities or invest in certain corporations. These overtures come, the Presbyterian Church works from the bottom up. So it starts in the congregation and it ends up at the top at the Synod. And in this particular case, since 1991 was the first time the Synod actually considered single-sex marriage. And at that time, in 1991, they voted that the ministers of Presbyterian congregations could bless same-sex unions, but they could not marry, or they could not identify them as marriage. Okay, I'm taking a long time to get to the big news. I'm sorry.
That's nice. Quite all right.
But yesterday, at an overwhelming vote, the group at the General Assembly in Detroit voted that in the 19 states and the District of Columbia where same-sex marriage is legal, that ministers of Presbyterian congregations can, if they wish, marry same-sex couples.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That's pretty
Isn't
great.
That wonderful?
Yeah.
It's wonderful, but it makes a certain amount of sense given the Supreme Court decision.
Well, yes, and also when we have members of our congregation who have are in relationships and want to be married or have children that they want to have their children married in our church, and now we can do it.
Right.
The other, now I'm just going to back up 1 minute. This was approved yesterday by an overwhelming majority. It has to go one further step. So I'm not, I can't sit here and say this is a done deal.
Yeah.
But, you know.
What's the final step?
The final step, we will know later this week. It will go to the larger body for a full vote. And since the...
Do you expect that? Is there any indication that it would not?
There's no indication that it would not pass. But I've been around too many years to say anything is a slam dunk.
Sure.
The other news that came out of that particular meeting was there is something called the Book of Church Order, which is kind of the rule book of the National Presbytery. And up till now, it defines marriage as, I'm not sure if the word is sacrament, but a union between a man and a woman. And another vote that was taken yesterday was to change the official rule book to say marriage is between two persons.
Right.
That's wonderful.
So,
what do you think about, I mean, I'm not going to ask you about what you think about other churches that are not accepting, but I mean, but what does it do for a congregation like yours being open and accepting the entire community? I think one the statement that you read from the church bulletin I think is profound, really. I mean, it is really accepting people where they are, and I think that that's without judgment. And I think that's one of the things that I think is very different about a church such as yours, where other denominations might be more judgmental of the state that you're in. What is it? How do you see it working in the real world?
Well, I guess I see it as putting our money where our mouth is. We talk about unconditional inclusiveness. And unconditional inclusiveness is a celebration of the full diversity of the kingdom of God. That's what we believe. And if we don't live our beliefs, then we should shut our doors and go away.
Is that your church or the whole Presbyterian church?
The Presbyterian Church is a big family, and just as in many families, there's differences of opinion.
Right.
Just as in my family, there is. So I can't speak for all churches, but I certainly can speak for the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson. And I know in terms, just personally, because we've been in partnership together on many occasions, Christ Church, the Episcopal Church in Hudson, is also inclusive.
Yes, they are. I'm a member there, and they are very inclusive, in spite of the fact that the diocese in Albany is highly conservative and very anti-gay marriage. And that's upsetting to many people in our congregation.
Mm-hmm. As it should be. But, you know, this didn't happen overnight in the Presbyterian Church.
Right.
And
so, it's, so much of what's happening in this country even is has happened extremely quickly, but it's certainly many of us never thought we'd see the day that where you're talking about legal same-sex marriage and that kind of thing.
Right. So what we want to be is a beacon to the community. You know, it's not our beliefs at the First Presbyterian Church in Hudson aren't solely contained inside the doors of that magnificent building, which we're all aware of.
Right.
We feel our ministry belongs outside the doors, out on the streets and in the community. And in that respect, we're in partnership with many organizations here in Hudson. Can I just name a few?
Of course, absolutely.
Well, starting with AA and NA, who meet there regularly. The Salvation Army, Perfect 10, the Hudson Daycare Center. Now, these are in various ways that we work with these groups.
Don't you have a Haitian congregation?
I was just going to say. Yeah. We have the Haitian, I believe it's called the Solid Rock Haitian Community Church. They meet there after our regular services on Sundays.
I know the church offered space to the reentry program, which was working with people who have been formerly incarcerated and trying to get them on the right path. And
right.
I think that's a big deal.
And I think I'd like to mention that program and incarceration issues is a hot button, if I can say that, with our pastor, Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
This is something very close to her heart.
Right.
Catherine came to us right before she came to Hudson. She was working at the Trenton Psychiatric Hospital, Trenton, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a passion for working with people who are healing, who are sick and healing.
Right.
And that can be physically as she working in hospice.
Mm-hmm.
Or in mentally healing people.
And I spoke with Pastor Belke about being on the show today, and she was not able to because she was working in a hospital in Albany, I believe. But we're going to have her on in the next couple of either the next show or the show after, where we can talk a little bit more about the inside of the structure of the church and everything, and the church's relationship to both the LGBT community and the broader sort of disenfranchised communities that exist as well.
Right. Just getting back to the parade for a minute. last year, members of the congregation marched in the parade with our banner. This year, as so often happens, this one's away, that one's, you know, so we're kind of a small group. So we will be found this time on the lawn. Also on the lawn, you will find a group called Light Presbyterians, and they have that's a group of churches, people that have for many, many years been championing for just what we are talking about today, lobbying, if you will.
And it's LIGHT, Light?
LIGHT,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So and there'll be representatives from that group as well as from our church. I will be there with my daughter and my 4-year-old grandson.
Mm-hmm.
it's never too young to get people involved involved in causes.
And we heard that the Gay Men's Choir is singing.
Thank you for bringing that up. On Sunday at 4 o'clock, the Albany Gay Men's Choir, or chorus, I guess it's called, and they're not singing church music. They're singing.
Let me guess, show tunes.
it's good. You know, they're going to be there at 4 o'clock, and I hope as many people can come as possible. Tickets will be, I believe they're for sale online, and you can also buy them at the Spotty Dog. At the Spotty Dog. And can I just, before I forget, I'd like to give the church's website, because,
sure, of course,
for instance, if you want to learn anything about us, and also if you want more information about the Albany Gay Chorus, you can find it at our website, which is First Press, that's P as in Paul, R-E-S, Hudson.org.
Great.
And can people find out more about the building restoration program online?
If they can. And what they'll do is you go all the way over to the right, and there'll be a tag that'll say Friends of.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's a separate group, Friends of the First Presbyterian Church,
right,
who are charged with raising money for the church.
Now, recently there was an announcement that the stained glass front, the window in the front, is virtually fully funded at
it
this
is
point.
Another reason to be grateful this day. That ugly green cardboard will come down.
Oh, that's exciting news.
Yeah, there. This
that's
is
one of the most splendid pieces of architecture in the city. And mm-hmm. the thank official, you so the much for taking such good care of
the
it.
The official clock of the city of Hudson is housed in the steeple of the church as well.
Exactly.
And that's over 100 years old.
Oh,
well, the church is
the
quite
church,
old.
Yes, I believe that it's been in that location. It started out on 2nd and what is now Allen Street.
Oh,
yeah,
Allen Street. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so thanks to the Friends of First Presbyterian, who have worked very hard, and the chair of that committee is Phil Foreman.
Right.
And he was able to work. He received a grant. What put us over, almost over, we still have a few thousand dollars to go, was a grant from Sacred Sites.
Right, and that's the state-funded environmental protection.
Exactly, and that allowed a matching fund that we had been promised from the Galvan Foundation mm-hmm. to be realized.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
So
good for you.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't happen without a lot of work.
Yes, and I absolutely
consistent work.
I really want to give credit to the Friends and Phil for doing that. Mm-hmm. They've done a wonderful job.
So you wear a number of hats as well, and for quite some time you were the president of the board of the Hudson Area Library.
That's right. I was president for 6 years.
And maybe you could tell us a little bit about what's happening with the library. I know that the library, for those who aren't aware, the library will be moving to the Armory on 5th and State Street. That is also part of the Galvan Foundation. It's in many ways the linchpin of what they're doing. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. You never have to ask me twice to talk about the library. In fact, people now refer to me as the library lady, which I guess is better than the elder lady, but in any event.
I think they both sound good.
Yes, the Armory. We are well on our way. We're obviously still raising funds. We've received some very good news. This is, you know, you should invite me more often. I have some more groundbreaking
news. The door's open.
We just learned last week that the library received $106,000 from the New York State Library Construction Fund.
Oh, great.
So that goes right towards the construction. Foundations have been generous. You know, the truth is that many people never thought it was going to happen. And so I'm no longer president of the library. I have a much more difficult job. I'm co-chair of the fundraising committee.
Right.
Oh.
And you know, I'm the one you see with the tin can, with their tin cup out on the corner. But now that you can see, people can see that actually construction has begun.
Right. Yeah.
It is so exciting, Victor and Deb. It is so exciting. We are very hopeful and optimistic that this time next year we will be in that splendid new space.
Mm-hmm.
And which part of the building? I remember it from when it was a flea market and a rabbit warren of antique stores.
The whole first floor. The whole.
Oh, my goodness.
So you walk in on Fifth Street.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember, there's the two rooms, those wonderful rooms off to the sides.
Mm-hmm.
The one as you go to the right, I don't remember, it's called the Officers Hall or something like that.
Right.
That will be the new community room.
Oh, how nice. That's a lovely space.
It's a lovely, so we'll be
kind
able
of
to
cozy
have.
Cozy.
Well, yeah, we can actually, I think we can seat somewhere up to 80 people in there, and we can have events, which in our present space is just not possible.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
It will be handicapped accessible to begin with. There'll be an elevator. There will be a ramp to get not only people who need help with wheelchairs or crutches, but strollers. It, it breaks my heart to watch moms and dads try to bump the strollers up the up the steps in our present location. But yes, we will have this community room with a little kitchen, and then the whole drill shed. It will be go all the way to the back with those magnificent high ceilings and windows.
And a mezzanine?
The mezzanine will, as you look ahead, will contain, it'll be covered, so you won't see it. But below the mezzanine, we will have, there will be glass that comes down, and in one area we'll have our teen space, which will be a space where our lovely teens can be seen, but not necessarily heard, which gives them so much more freedom. And also...
And peace and quiet for everyone else.
Oh, but it's wonderful. It's just wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And then our new history room will also be self-contained with glass and secure. But this art, this open space is... All I can use is the word. I know it's overused, but it really is awesome. When you see the plans.
Oh, it's a beautiful building, and so exciting to put it to that use.
So you have to raise a substantial amount of money.
We have to raise a substantial amount of money, but we're on our way, Victor. We have a thermometer reading at in front of the 400 State Street building, which indicates we have raised $650,000, but we are anticipating within the next several months being able to push that up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're, you know... Of course we need $100,000 donations.
Right.
But we're getting donations through our website, via PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
When I see something coming from an address in Virginia with a $100 donation, I go back and say, can I ask you why you donating to our Hudson?
Right.
Well, because I'm considering moving to that area. I've worked for the government, and I'm looking to move to, I think he said, Red Rock.
Uh-huh.
And I saw your library, and it's so exciting. If I had $1 million, I'd give you more.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
And then...
Interesting.
It's just... So, people, we will... We have not really started our formal campaign yet.
Right.
But you'll be hearing
and
from us.
And will there be, like, will it be a big fundraising event?
There will be various events.
Right, okay.
There will be various events,
right.
And we're working on it. And we have a wonderful committee of local people and weekenders,
mm-hmm.
because the weekenders are excited about this, too.
Right. And your goal here is really to create a 21st century library, which clearly the current library, as great as it is, it has quite a bit of limitations.
It has limitations, and in terms of meeting space, of what we can offer, of programs that we can offer, and also it's just not a healthy environment, and
right.
It's It's time to go.
It's too small.
So we have been discussing with Teresa Parsons, who is an elder at the First Presbyterian Church, former board president of the Hudson Area Library. And any last words before we end it? We're just about out of time, but
no. But you know, I just want to reiterate that you're all very welcome to visit at First Presbyterian Church. You will be warmly welcomed. We won't be all over you. If you want to sit in the back, we won't bother you. But we're a friendly group. And also, please, besides going to the Presbyterian website, would you go to the Hudson Area Library website, too?
Great.
So thank you so much.
What's that, that address for those who aren't aware?
It's HudsonAreaLibrary.org.
Great. So I'm Victor Mandolia.
Deborah Gilbert.
This has been At Issue on